You guys like Christmas?
Yeah.
Okay. This is.
That is so cool. That's right. Okay.
So Max is ready for Christmas. We know that. So, but I don't have a Christmas story for you today. But I do have a story, sort of. You guys, but, you know, Max, I bet if we took a vote, 99.9% of the people would probably choose your story over mine. I think I'm going to have to nix you, though. My story today, okay? Is that all right? Okay. All right. Maybe next week you can tell your story. The deal? Okay. All right. That'll be good. We look forward to that. Okay. Next week, you can look forward to the story of the dump truck, okay? Not this week. I don't think. So you guys, if you've been around me for a little while, then you know that I love the stories of Narnia. Do you guys know the stories of Narnia? Yeah. There's some movies that have been made about them. But, okay. Next time. Sorry. So, there's some things about the stories of Narnia. There's some movies made about them. But really, the books are a little better. So if you haven't read those books, I would encourage you to read them or get your parents to read them to you, because there's a special thing about those books. And in those books is a lion. Every one of the books centers around a lion. What's that lion's name? You guys know? Aslan. Who does Aslan represent? God. Jesus, really, to be specific. And every one of those books, the children, there's four children, there's some others, but there's four children, they get called to another land, and they go on adventures. And Aslan has this special... Hey, I'm telling a story here, Max. I'll listen to your story next week. Will you listen to mine this week? Okay. All right. So, one of the things that he teaches them things about character. That is, he makes them more like himself so they can be used for his purposes. And so, just like Aslan has a purpose for them in this magical, made-up land of Narnia, so Jesus has a purpose in this world. You know what? Caleb, will you help us out here? Why did Jesus come? Do you know why Jesus came? Why did he come here? We got it, man. To deliver him? Do you remember?
Yeah. Deliver.
From what?
From
Satan, sin, and death. So, he has a mission. You know, so just like Aslan and Narnia had a mission, Jesus came with a mission. And so when we belong to Jesus, he has a mission for us. He has a mission, and he gives that mission to us. But if we're going to accomplish his mission in the world, something he does in us is he shapes our character. You remember last week when I told you the story of Daniel in the lion's den? And I told you that for 65 years, Daniel was preparing, or should I say, God was preparing Daniel to face the lion in the lion's den. So he was 80-something years old when he faced those lions. And God had prepared him all along the way. He prepared his character. He had the faith. He had the courage. He had the humility. And he had the respect of the whole nation because of his excellence. So all these things God had developed in his character. And he started that development. You see, though, we make God... gives us these opportunities. He makes us able. He strengthens us. But we have to make choices. We make choices, and God develops our character through those choices. And God started with Daniel, really when he was a baby, but we don't know those stories. But we do know the story of when he was about 14 years old. not much older than you guys. About what? Where he lived in the city of Jerusalem. And these guys, bad guys, the Persians and the Medes, they came and they surrounded the city. It's called a siege. They were soldiers completely circling the city. And when they did that, in those times, it was a terrible, terrible thing. Because they would just wait. You couldn't get out. Nobody could get in. So pretty soon, the people in the city would starve. Or they would start beating each other up. Or things would go horrible. And then the bad guys would come in and take the city. And this was happening in Jerusalem. So here's little Daniel. And this is going on. Can you imagine how Daniel's parents felt? They want to protect their family, their children. And here the enemy comes in and they take him. And they take him away. They take him away to this land of Babylon. They don't know what's happening to Daniel. It seems like the most horrible, horrible thing that could possibly happen. But Daniel had some choices to make. Do you know that your parents can put you in the right situation, in the right circumstances, so that to build your character, but they can't do it for you? Do you know that? You guys are responsible to respond to God, to make right choices according to what God desires. And when you make those choices, God builds your character. He builds your faith. He builds your courage. He builds your humility. And He builds your excellence. Just like Daniel had. And so, while Daniel's parents had a responsibility, this thing happened. It was out of their control. And Daniel had to make choices. And it's that he had to choose to trust God in this difficult, difficult. And it was the beginning. He made the right choice. He trusted God. And he kept trusting God. And he kept responding to God as God called him to, and he developed faith. He developed courage. You think he needed those things when he faced the lions? You wouldn't have wanted to be thrown into a hungry, vicious lion if you didn't have courage, if you didn't have faith. You wouldn't want it, but he was prepared, and God is preparing you. He's preparing you right now for what he has for you in life, and it's so absolutely important that you respond. And there's three things that Daniel's three ways that God was preparing Daniel. And I don't know if I'll get into all those three ways with you guys. Maybe I'll just mention them. How about that? And then you can do with them what you will. You see, Daniel developed the right kind of friendship. He developed friendships with people that also loved God, but they were his partners. Not just so they could just have a good friend. He wasn't just buddies with these guys. They had God's purposes in mind. And so they were, you guys know the story of my three-legged race, right? You know, I won't go into detail, but you know how three-legged race works, don't you? Have you guys done that? Will you tie? Okay. Just making sure. You have a neglected childhood if you don't know this. You tie your leg to the leg of another person, about your same size, hopefully, and other kids do the same thing, and you race. And you know, if these two guys are just concerned about how their leg hurts, or how the other guy feels, or how they feel, they're just going to stumble and fall. But if they have this goal, this purpose in mind, they're going to run together, and they're going to move together and accomplish the mission. And that's what Daniel did. You see, he had friends that they weren't just about each other. That wasn't their purpose. They had accepted God's purpose in their life. They were about God's purpose, God's mission that Caleb just told us about. Jesus came with a mission. God has a mission to rescue the world. And we are to be a part of that. So that was those two things. He had God's purpose in his life. He had partners to do it. And he loved God. He wanted to know God. He wanted to know God. There's a verse that says, those that know their God will be strong and do exploits. So those three things Daniel based his life on, his decisions on his partners, on the right partners, on God's whole purpose in his life. He had adopted, taken on God's purpose, and everything revolved around him knowing God. He wanted to know God, the person of God. What is God like? And if you read through the book of Daniel, or even if you read through the books of Narnia, you'll get this sense there's a building of the character so that they can accomplish the purposes of God, and so they can know God and walk with Him. And that was the character of Daniel. So what we're going to learn today, and you guys can... bless you, kid. You guys can ask your parents about it later if you want to. But we're going to learn about how Daniel's character was built, and so how God builds our character so that He will be seen in us, so that we will accomplish His purposes in the world, so that we will know Him and will fulfill His purposes in our life. Because God's called you to something. I don't know what it is, but God's called all of you guys to something, and He's given you abilities. But all those abilities and the situation He has you in, whether it's good or bad, it's not a good or bad situation that shapes your character. It's your response to God that shapes your character. You could be in the best or the worst. There's no guarantee if you're in the best situation, your character is going to be good. And there's no guarantee if you're in the worst situation, your character is going to be bad. It's how you respond to God. Okay, you guys got all that? Okay. All right. So go out and live it, okay? All right. So we'll pray for you. And then you guys can go back. Because today, I think you guys are going to review your homework and some of the things that you've already done and been studying. And I know some of you did your homework, actually, and are ready. So congratulations. We'll pray for you. And you can go back. Who has the little ones? Okay. Yeah. Hey, that's next week. That is next week. Are you going to be a preacher? Next week? Okay, dump truck story next week, okay? Are we good with that? You prepare, all right? Okay. All right, next week. Ask your daddy to put a spiritual lesson in it, but okay. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank You. Just thank You for this time that we have here. We thank You, Lord, that we don't have to be stressed or rushed to try to fulfill our agenda, but that we can rest in You, and You'll do what needs to be done as we put our trust in You. So, Lord, we ask that You would communicate Your truth to these children, to all of us, that they would set the course for their life to follow You and to know You and to be used by You. We ask Your blessing on them. We know that You love them, and we love them too. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay. Until next week. Hey, you work hard in there, okay, Caleb? All right, Max, you go tell some stories to ZJ, all right? See you, bud. See you, bud. Head on back, Caleb. What? Yeah. Well, as is our custom, we'll pray again. Lord, we are thankful for the children that You have given us, put among us. And I pray, Lord, that You would continue to guide them today. I pray, Lord, to be with us now as we open Your Word. Thank You for the time that we've already had, Lord. The things have already been shared, and we are appreciative of that, Lord. We look to You now. Open Your Word up to us. In Jesus' name, amen. So we have, you may have noticed, we have covered the first six chapters of Daniel, And I started to go into chapter 7, but if you look at chapter 7, you see that it gets a little more complex. The first six chapters are more of a narrative. They're stories, if you will, of Daniel's life. And those are the things that we can glean and learn from the character of Daniel. And the tone changes a bit in chapter 7. And it starts off with Daniel having a dream. It's a prophecy. And it actually is prophecy for his time, but it's also prophecy for our time and for the future. And so I don't think we'll get into those things until we come back after Christmas. It's going to be a little disjointed. So and we need to have at least a stream of thought to wade through those things. So we'll do that when we come back after Christmas. So one of the things that struck me about Daniel as we've gone through, and it's not just about humility, but how God reserves his real work of changing men's hearts for the humble. And you know, I see that in God's word. I see that in real life experience. It's not that all the great leaders or the people that have done great things in the world are humble. That's not necessarily so. But I believe that in your own life and in the lives that you touch, one of the things that will make the biggest difference is your character. One of the central things of character is humility. That we have a clear vision of who God is. We have a clear vision of who we are. And that can take many, many trials to really get a hold of that. It can take difficult circumstances to get a hold of that. And it comes through faith. But I want to talk this morning, we want to talk about how God developed the character of Daniel. And you'll notice as we've gone through, Daniel's character, it's hardly matched in the other men or women of the Bible that we study. The character of Daniel is just an example. And the things we've pointed out so far is his courage. And just the Daniel's courage, for example, we talked about with the children when he faced those lions, his courage was not founded in his physical strength, in his preparation to fight the lions. That was not where he found his courage. There's some men that may have found some courage, bravery, because they had some history of battle or a way to use weapons that they would face those lions. But that was not Daniel. He found his courage from another source. Daniel had faith. Daniel had humility. He had excellence, and he had joy. Now, there's many other things we could look at. Those are things that just kind of floated to the top for me as I've studied through Daniel. And those are things that Daniel was used in this huge way in Babylon. Great responsibility, but the thing that impresses me the most about Daniel is how God used him to change the heart of this powerful pagan king. And not just one, but two. And then his friends that are mentioned and other people that we don't even know about, that Daniel was used in this personal, relationship-oriented way to change the hearts of men. And it was because of his character that door was open. Primarily, his humility, but other things too that we just mentioned. So what was his life ordered around that this kind of character flowed out of it? This courage and humility and excellence and joy. What was it? What was his mindset? Because I asked that for an obvious reason. I asked myself that. I asked God that. I look in the Word for it. Because I want to be used to change the hearts of men, because that's my mission. As I asked Caleb, what was Jesus' mission? He knew what Jesus... You know what? As Jesus came and he had a mission, God has a purpose in this world. I want to be able to participate in that. I want to be able to change the hearts of men. Or I want God to do that through me. How do I get our character must be change if we're going to be used. So we can go through all kind of courses of evangelism. We can have a great personality. We can have all this knowledge. But there's a hardness in the hearts of men. And it's like the Holy Spirit uses this pry bar of our character that He has given us. And that's just the way He's chosen to work. That's the way He changes. There's other ways. I know that. But that's a primary way, because He told His men to go and make disciples, and then He showed them how. And He walked the roads with them, and He lived with them, and He ate with them, and He went through storms with them, and He went through to parties with them. And there was this Jesus character that just drew them. And then he told them that you can have My character. You can have this. So Daniel's life, I think, was ordered around these three things. And I see Paul's life ordered around these three things. And I see many other examples. And there's this line drawn, and I gave you this homework. You have another chance to do it. Of this connection from the book of Daniel to the book of Philippians, to the letter that Paul wrote. Did you guys do your homework, by the way? Anybody do your homework? Sam, you can admit it. You did it. Okay. You have another chance. So, these three principles that Daniel ordered his life around, and it becomes a little, as most things, like the Old Testament is the shadow of the New. And so most things that you look at in the Old, then when you find that same principle in the New Testament, it becomes more clear to you, more concrete. And I think that's what we find here. So, as I see in Daniel's life, you see chapters 1, chapter 2 of Daniel, you see how it's always mentioning these guys that he was with. And it wasn't that they were out to meet their own needs. They had this common purpose, and they built this partnership. So let's look briefly. I know we looked at this a little bit last week. Thank you, Carl. And the reason I'm going back to this is I'm not quite ready, even though there's the time issue and those things we talked about, I'm not quite ready to leave the first six chapters of Daniel. Here's why. I don't know that we have paused and said to ourselves, contemplated, reflected. That's a old school thing. We don't do much of that today. It's something we need to bring into our lives. To reflect on what God has said, to reflect on things that He has brought to our mind, to reflect on the Word. And when we do that, some call it meditation, thinking, reflection, we get an understanding of what God is communicating to us, a deeper understanding. And then we can follow suit. It shows up in our life. So I'm pausing here, really. It's going to be some repetition. That we would reflect and say, God, I want this in my life. What can I learn from my experiences of the past? I don't want to relive them, but what can I learn? What have You been trying to teach me? What are You teaching me today that I will need when I face the lion? Because You will face the lion. What will I need? How are You preparing me? I want to be prepared. I want to be used to change the hearts of men. So these are the principles that I believe Daniel's life was ordered around. It's the principles that Paul's life was ordered around. It's the principles that we can order our life around. We've narrowed them down to three. And out of these things will flow courage, faith, humility, excellence, and joy. I'll guarantee you that will flow. Those sort of character traits will flow out of this. So the first one is that Daniel had a love for the people of God. Now you look, here's Daniel and here's Paul. Daniel's love for the people of God was a love for Israel. God had this love for Israel. What's behind that? God was going to reveal Himself to the world through the people of Israel. There was a mission behind it. But God loved the people of Israel. God loves His children, those people that have put their trust in Christ, those that have the name of Christ, those that are part of the family of God. God has a special love for those people. We should have a special love for those people. Something's wrong. You see, if you will cultivate this, If you have the knowledge, I'm supposed to have joy in this, you'll look for the joy in those relationships. You'll look for joy. It's supernatural. But it's not just about we get together and we eat together. That is great. That's joy. We get together. We fellowship. That is wonderful. But there's something more. And there's something deeper to it. Let's go to Philippians 1, 3. If you notice before how Paul's talking here, he says, to all the saints, and he says, grace and peace to you from God our Father. There's just this love of God for the people of God. There's this love. If God has that love, we are to have that love too. I thank my God every time. This is verse 3. I remember you in all my prayers for all of you. I always remember, I always pray with joy. You see, that's supernatural. God does that in us. There should be joy from this. With joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. There's a clue to the relationship. You know, if I can take an example, if I go back to our garage days of doing CrossFit, we were there in the garage, we're working out in the garage, and you could easily say, well, those guys are just there just to get stronger and just to do guy things, and there's a little truth to that. We got carried away with it sometimes, and we'd have to rein it in and all that. But there were many times when somebody new would come in. Somebody new came into that little community, and everybody knew. If that was a non-believer that came in, then we knew without me going, we knew the purpose. Our purpose was not about ourselves. It was not, oh, now somebody's there, I'm not going to get a good workout. No, it's I'm going to drop this if I need to drop this. And we are going to take care. It's not about us because there's a purpose. You see, there's a purpose of God. And we both are partners in doing whatever it takes. You know, I saw a little taste. You know, we're seeing a little taste of this here. I saw a taste of this the other night when there were people here the other night for that party that from, you don't know the history. I know the history, and there's some various history and people from various backgrounds, and there were kids to be watched out for, there was food, and everybody did their part. There was a partnership in accomplishing God's purpose, and if you do it like that, there's a joy that's supernatural. Now, there are choices to be made all along the way, but there's a joy in it. And it's like the three-legged race. When things work and it works together and it's smooth and you're headed towards this purpose, there's a joy in it. And that is the way that God has made it. So, that was one of the things that you can see as Daniel built this partnership with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. There was this joy in it. It was not about meeting his needs. It was not about even really meeting their needs. It was about the next principle, and that is it was about the purposes of God. So you can read through the rest of those verses. You can read down to verse 25 there in chapter 1. We'll read one more. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you again, your joy in Christ Jesus will overflow on account of me. You see it everywhere. When this partnership is understood, there's a joy that overflows from it. It takes out all sorts of problems and issues when you get that down. We are about the purposes of God. That will take out a lot of issues. There's something else in here. You'll see that Paul said here in verse 6, he's confident of this, that he who began a good work in you would carry out to completion until the day of Christ. So, if this person is not quite ready to be a partner, there's an acceptance of a person for where they are. You see, And it's not there's not a negative connotation to it. Oh, come on, can't you catch up? There's not that attitude. It's, I know that God is going to complete in you what He started, and I'm praying for you, and I have joy in that, and I accept you where you are, and we're going to move forward from this. And there's an expectation that there's going to be growth. You see, there's that mercy that's mixed in with that. God's mercy of, yeah, maybe you're not where you should be right now, and maybe I'm not where I should be. And there's some, that changes from day to day. But I'm going to accept you where you are, but I have this expectation that you're going to grow. You're going to be conformed to the image of Christ. And I'm going to pray for you, and I'm going to help you. That is a part of the partnership. And, you know, we have this thing where, it's taken me a long time to learn this, that I'm not the center of the universe. And are you guys still learning that you're not the center of the universe? So I've had lessons where, you know, people would maybe not be following God, and I'd be frustrated that. And they go off and they leave. Then come to find out, they did follow God. And they did grow. And they did follow. They are being used by God. Yet sometimes we part paths. That doesn't mean we give up. That doesn't mean we look down on someone or reneged. It's like God will still do what God's going to do in their life. And I don't have to be there for Him to do it. And it's not all about me. God's doing His work in their life. It's not all about me. He's doing His work in their life, conforming them to the image of Christ and doing what's best for them and what's best for me. All that stuff mixes in to the partnership. We have a partnership, and we can do that even when God's purpose has not been fully embraced by another person. There can still be some level of partnership. There has to be this grace in partnership. That has to be a part of it. But really, how does it work best? When two people, and I'm going to encourage you to cultivate this if you don't have it. Learn how it works. Cultivate. Where you can have a partnership with somebody else that has the purposes of God at their heart. Now, we've talked about this before. If you just get focused on that relationship, on that person, to meet your needs, it crumbles. It crumbles. It gets ugly. But if you keep your eyes on the prize, keep your eyes on the purposes of God, it will bring unity. And there is a joy in that unity. It should be, God designed it to be a part of your Christian walk. There's a joy, a supernatural joy in it. Daniel cultivated that joy, I believe, with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in a difficult circumstance. And there was a great joy. Now, this next thing, you see these flow back and forth. All these, they're connected and they overlap. But this love for the purpose of God, and we've already talked about that, but if you go quickly to Philippians 1:18. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motive or true, Christ is preached, and because of this, I rejoice. This will change everything. It will change your relationships. It will change your partnerships. It will change your church. If you personally, and especially if other people personally, will really take on the purposes of God, it's not then about how much I'm fulfilled. It's not about how much attention I get. It's not about are my needs met. It's about the purposes of God in my life, and you will not have joy until you get a hold of it. You see, we all have a purpose, and we're trying to get joy from that purpose because we're made that way. But it doesn't work until we get God's purpose. Go to Romans 8:5. This is about surrender. This is no small thing. Don't just let the water roll off your back on this one. This is huge. Your life is ordered around this. It's taking on the purposes of God. And you will not have the joy of the Lord until you accomplish this. Philippians, what did I say here? Romans. I'm mixed up here. Romans. Romans 8:5. This is an eye-opening verse to me. Those who live according to the sinful nature will have their minds set on what that nature desires. For those who live in accordance with the Spirit will have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. What is your mind on? What are your thoughts on? What do you think about? This is not a WWJD kind of thing. What would Jesus do? That's not it. This is not a conscious effort. This is not mind tricks. This is not 3x5, what are they? 3x5 cards on the dash. This is not the little verses on the wind, on the mirror. All those things are fine. This is not about those things or tricks that remind me. There has been a transformation. There has been a turning. And I'm no longer about my purposes in the world. I'm about the purposes of God in the world. It changes your relationship. It changes how you interact. It changes everything. When you take on the purposes of God in the world, your mind, you see that verse? You either want, if you're thinking about your desires and fulfilling your desires and what you want, you're not walking in the Spirit. But when you are thinking on the things of God, when you are surrendered to Him, you've taken on His, you are thinking, your mind is on the things of God, and this is supernatural, you find great joy in it. Let's say this. There's an oddity to this that may give you the picture. Let's say there's someone, for no good reason, that God has put on your mind, that you're concerned about this person. Maybe they're going through a difficult time. It may not be somebody you would naturally care that much about, but God's brought them into your life somehow. You care about, you're concerned about them, for their soul, for their spiritual well-being, for their eternal joy. You're concerned about them. And you begin to pray for them. That's not you. You see, that's the desires of God. You've taken on His purpose in the world. You have His thoughts, His mind, His emotion toward this person. And I will, even though you may be burdened, even though you may really pray, and I hope this happens in your life, you may be praying for this person, and it may be burdensome to you in a sense, but there's also a joy in it, and it's supernatural, because you are walking with God, you're in step with the Spirit, you have His thoughts, His mind, the mind of Christ, and there is joy in the mind of Christ. There's joy as a result of that. You have the purposes of God. These things will, here's the thing, in the midst of this, you're not thinking about this, but it will shape your character. It will shape your character. It will give you boldness and courage. It will give you love. It will give you peace. These things will flow out of that. When you've taken on the purposes of God, I believe this was always in Daniel's life. You read through the book of Daniel and look for this. It's always about the purposes of God. And when you go later, he'll pray. Daniel's prayer in chapter 9, you can look ahead to Daniel chapter 9, and there's this heartfelt, passionate prayer, and Daniel is praying to God, and he's saying, "Oh God, remember Jeremiah made this prophecy. Your prophet, he read it in the God's Word, and I know that it's time for you to bring your people, a love for His people, back to Israel, a love for the purpose of God." And he's passionate about the people of Israel getting back to Jerusalem because that's God's desire. And he's praying and he's connecting with God over this thing. God, do it. God's already promised to it. He's, in a sense, reminding him, God, do it. It's this partnership with God. And there's a joy, and there's an intimacy, and a depth of relationship with God that comes from that being aligned with His purposes in the world. You surrender your will and your purpose in the world to God's purpose in the world. Do you see? Does that click with you that this changes your relationship? It changes how you view other people and how you view yourself. And it changes how you interact and your daily walk. It changes you. Do you see why Nebuchadnezzar was Satan's man? Nebuchadnezzar was going to be, he's a forerunner to the Antichrist. That's the kind of man he was. Satan was gathering the peoples of the earth together. Do you see that? And that he's gathering the peoples of the earth old Babylon. He's gathering this together. And Satan's going, is this my day? Is now my time? And he's bringing this. He's got it all together. And he finds his man, it's Nebuchadnezzar, and he puts him on the top. And this guy's going to be his man. He's poured all of his investment into this man, Nebuchadnezzar. And here comes this humble refugee, Daniel, with character and humility and a love for God's people and a love for God's purpose and an intimacy with God. And this man, Satan's man, his heart is changed. Because Daniel is a man after God's own heart. And he has humility. He has character. Nebuchadnezzar is snatched away from being used by the enemy in a mighty, mighty way. He's a humble man. He sees God. Daniel had a love for the person of God. And I think Paul, though, puts words to it. Let's go back to Philippians 3:7. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, whose sake I have lost all things. Daniel, always, his purpose was always to bring glory to God. Yet, in his prayers, when you read the prayers of Daniel, you get this. And when you read the prayers of Paul, you get the same thing. You get this desire for God. Have you ever had that? Have you ever had that desire to know God? Where you just like you want to reach out for Him? It may come in the form of worship or prayer or desire for His Word, but you want to know Him. You want to be connected to Him. God is pleased with that. He blesses that. And you can know Him. That's what Paul is saying. I have bumped into the God of the universe and nothing else compares to this. I trade it all. I trade it all. Whatever. I want to know God. Nothing else compares. You see, that's God's purpose for you. That's fulfilling His purpose. To know Him. To pursue Him with that kind of heart. That's what He wants from us. There's an issue here. And it's the scourge, is that how you say it? The scourge of self. It's the issue at every single one of these principles. You will not grow in character. There's an enemy. Now there is an enemy, Satan. We spoke of him already. But there's an enemy that's closer. And that's you. It's me. The flesh. We want to look out for ourselves. We want to protect our own feelings. We want to protect our own property. We want to protect our own rights. We want to protect our anger, even. The scourge of self is our barrier. Without me teaching through it, you can go back and you can see how it would be true in each one of these things. The principle of partnership and the principle of wanting God's purpose and the principle of knowing God, of intimacy with Him. Self will be the barrier in every single one of these things. It's probably the barrier right now in your life. Kind of a bold statement, but it's probably the barrier right now from you finding joy in these three areas. You notice I said finding joy because that's the outcome of these. Now, in the long run, character is built, but the joy is now. If you're not finding joy in partnerships, joy in the purposes of God, and joy in intimacy with God, then self is probably the scourge of self. It's probably the issue keeping you from that. So, I would encourage you that you must reflect. This doesn't happen as you sit here right now. You may get inspired right now. That's how God works. If you have a desire building up in you right now, that's not me. That's the Holy Spirit, in a sense. He's so faithful. He works with us so faithful. He inspires us. You know, like when men go off the battle And the best way to go out to battle, or even to play a football game or anything, it's like you need a speech, you know? You need somebody to fire you up and take that first step. That's all this is. That's all this is. It's not doing it for you. It's getting you to take the first step. You need to stop and reflect on these things. These are principles your life should be based on. Stop. Read through Philippians. I repeated the homework. I told you to have a second chance. You didn't have a good enough motivational speech. So now this is it. This is it. This is your, I'm right here on my horse and I'm riding back and forth and I've got my sword in my hand and I'm clanging swords with you and I'm saying, the time is at hand. The battle is upon us. Let's go. But then tomorrow I won't be there probably. Well, maybe I will, but I won't be there with you really. It's you and God. And you must sit down. You must stop your life, even in this busy season, and reflect. Think, God, how are these three areas doing? Am I open to this? Am I finding joy in this? Am I pursuing these things? This is what God has for you. And He has joy in it. Don't you love that He did that? He didn't just give you this thing of just do it because I said so. Do it and be happy doing it. Because that's the way I've made it. So go back through these things. And then, here's what you do. This is a long-term assignment. There will be some early fruit, but you go through, you begin to base your life on these principles, and you'll start to see something. You'll start to see character, courage. You need courage in this life. Faith, excellence, humility, and joy. You'll see these things begin to develop. Then you know what will happen? Nebuchadnezzar's in this world to be drawn to that. You see, Daniel was not afraid of the world. Did I mention that this time? He didn't just stay in his holy huddle. He had his friends, but they were on a mission. They were out reaching the world. That's what they were doing. They were on God's mission, just like you are on God's mission. They were on God's mission. They were out there where it was dangerous. And they had this character. And this people are drawn to that character. They seek Christ. And then they hear the truth. And they receive the truth. Their hearts are changed. And they become partners. That's how God works. I've seen it happen over and over and over again. It works the way God said. It works. Face your life in these principles. Sit down, reflect. It takes that. Turn to God with these things. There, you have a little bit of an outline about how to do it. We have a song.